In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
I've had so many high compliments and wonderful praise, and people have sent me cards and notes and everything, and all I can say is you pray the Lord will make me what you think I am. Remember, I'm a clay pot, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And I'm a branch, and the branch can do nothing by itself. My talk this morning is the power of Christ. And I would like to go back and remind you of the questions that I asked you at the very beginning, the three questions. What do you want in life? How will you get it? And what will it cost you? And I couldn't help pondering long and hard over the one startling question that we had last night from someone who was carrying on an affair. And I thought this, for that person, of course, there is the clear distinction between desiring the will of God and my own. The second, how will you get it? Of course, renunciation is the only possible answer in that case. And what will it cost you? Well, probably many tears. And all of us have dilemmas of one sort or another in places where, in situations where it is Christ or me. Which will I choose? And God has given us the power to choose. I want to begin. Well, first of all, let me ask you if you're feeling a bit overwhelmed because you've gotten an overload during these few days. Are the principles impossible to carry out? Are you afraid to leave this hallowed place and all these wonderful people and go home to reality? Solzhenitsyn wrote this prayer, which I only recently came across, and believe it or not, it was at one time published in Vogue magazine. I cannot imagine why, but I have no doubt in my mind that Solzhenitsyn is an earnest Christian, having read a number of his books. And this was his prayer, and it fits in so beautifully with our theme of a simpler life. Remember that Solzhenitsyn suffered in concentration camp, of course, in labor camps in Russia. How simple for me to live with you, Lord. And this prayer was written in prison. How simple for me to live with you, Lord. How easy to believe in you. When in confusion, my soul bears itself or bends. When the most wise can see no further than this night and do not know what the morrow brings, you fill me with the clear certainty that you exist and that you watch to see that all the paths of righteousness be not closed. I love that phrase. I thought we sometimes feel that the paths of righteousness have been closed for us. There's just no way that we can walk in righteousness in a particular situation. But God, even in the prison, watches to see that all the paths of righteousness be not closed. From the heights of worldly glory, I am astonished by the path through despair you have provided me. This path, from which I have been worthy enough to reflect your radiance to men, all that I will yet reflect, you will grant me. And for that which I will not succeed in reflecting, you have appointed others. It is simple to live with the Lord. It is not complicated. It is not always easy. Let's not confuse simple with easy. But when Jesus says, love your enemies, we know exactly what that means. When he says, do good to them that hate you, we know exactly what that means. We want to stew and fret over the how, but it is really simple. When he says, love your enemies, he means exactly that. When he says, wives, submit to your husbands, we know exactly what he means. We don't want to do it. That's what makes it complicated. But if you are feeling overwhelmed and overloaded from this time together, I have verses of reassurance, all of them from Isaiah 41, 43, and 44. from Isaiah 41:10, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And then verse 14, "Do not be afraid, O worm Jacob." Anybody feeling a little wormy this morning? "Do not be afraid, O worm Jacob, O little Israel, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." Isaiah 43:18, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." Isaiah 44:1-3, "Now listen, O Jacob, my servant Israel, whom I have chosen. This is what the Lord says, he who made you, who formed you in the womb, and who will help you. Do not be afraid, O Jacob, my servant." So three basic principles: do not fear, forget the former things, now listen. And when you feel as though you're about to give way and sink, do not fear, forget the former things, and listen to what the Lord says. And he repeats over and over again that he is able to help us. Now, let's think of the power of Christ. How many of you know that lovely little song, "He is able, more than able"? Very few of you. But that's what it says. "He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle everything that comes my way." And 2 Timothy 1:12, the Apostle Paul gives a ringing testimony. "I know whom I have believed, and am absolutely sure that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." You have to make the commitment. He will do the keeping. He is able. Don't change your mind. If you have made some resolutions this week, if you have made some solemn promises and confessions before God, keep a steadfast heart. Be tenacious. Remember his presence and his power. Somebody here, I'm sure, feels that he or she is a hopeless case. There ain't no such animal. Not in God's economy. None of us is a hopeless case. All of us are, to begin with, of course. We are helpless and hopeless. "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, has been nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul." God is in the business of repair and renovation and renewal. And I remind you again of my two favorite verses, two that fit right together. 2 Chronicles 20:12, "We have no power, we do not know what to do." And Isaiah 50:7, "The Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded." And remember Jesus' word, he himself knew what he would do. Do the next thing. And the lines, "And all through the hours, the quiet words ring like a low inspiration. Do the next thing." And he will always give you the power to do the next thing, whatever that is. He is right there, and he does not want you lugging the baggage of the past or arrogating to yourself the worries of the future. He will either shield you from that suffering that you're afraid of in the future, or he will be there to give you the grace all-sufficient if he does not shield you from it. When Jesus took the disciples in the boat, it was Jesus' suggestion that they should go across the lake. So Jesus led them into a storm. Remember, Jesus does lead people into storms. When you get into a storm, it isn't necessarily because you've been disobedient. And Israel was led into to the bitter water of Marah. It was God who led them there. And God has tests and exams that he wants us to pass when he not only allows things like that, but actually arranges them. And so he arranged to go with the disciples across the lake in the boat, and a huge squall came up, and the disciples were terrified, and they were sure that the next wave was going to send them straight to the bottom. And Jesus was asleep on a pillow, absolutely at rest in the will of his Father. And they came to him, and I can imagine them grabbing him by the arm and giving him a hard shake and saying, "Don't you care that we are perishing?" That's what they said to him. And his answer was, "Why are you so fearful? Why is it that you have no faith?" And he rebuked the wind and the waves, and they calmed down. In that hymn, "Be Still My Soul," it says, "The waves and winds still know his voice, who ruled them while he dwelt below."
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.